Thank you so much, Pastor Trish. We really appreciate you guys and your warm welcome. And we really appreciate you having us. And thank you for stepping out in faith and taking a risk. Yeah. And we did a couple of tours with Kathy Walters, and I'm sorry, but that was a classic example of what happened with the pauper. That's the sort of thing she does, you know. and it's like traveling with the Queen. Yeah. You're a younger virgin than her. Yeah.
We thought it'd be great if we could. Over the weekend we've been doing dreams and visions and teaching about how to interpret. And so we'd like to demonstrate for those who haven't been to our meetings this weekend some dreams and interpretation. And I would expect that because we've been speaking on it that you dreamt last night. Who dreamt last night? Oh, there's a number of you. That's great. How many of you guys had a nice short dream last night? Now, to interpret in a forum like this, we need a dream that's perhaps a minute in length. All right, so at max. Otherwise, it would derail what the Spirit of God wants to do. But so we would like to demonstrate that.
Before we do that, just want to just call up Mel for a testimony. She had a testimony for last night. We've probably got a couple of other people that might have some testimonies, but it has to be very short.
Hi. Last night Adam prayed that I'd had a car accident in 1977, and he prayed that God would bring my bones into alignment, and he also prayed that that the migraines would go, and I actually didn't have migraines the whole time. It was just sort of over the 5 or 10 years when I was really stressed, I'd get migraines. But I'd also sort of have a bit of a lean to my body, because particularly when I'm wearing a bag, having a bag, it would always slip off the shoulder. And I've just, it's aligned. I look in the mirror and I'm
hallelujah.
Straight.
Praise God.
Praise God.
I'm completely healed.
Praise God. Well, Father, we thank you for sealing that right now. And we thank you for your blood, your son's blood, and we decree divine order right now. We thank you that you, Lord, she's a testimony. Lord, she's a testimony, which is the spirit of prophecy and the healing power of God, in Jesus' name. Amen. I saw that accident too. I sort of had a word of knowledge over the accident. It happened a long time ago, and 1977, but the God actually... You know, the thing about words of knowledge, the more accurate it is, the more the faith realm opens up and people receive their healing. So bless you. Has anyone else had any short testimonies over the weekend they want to share? By the way, last night, some people wanted to come back, line up again for some more prayer. I'm sorry that I was standing up for 4.5 hours. I couldn't pray for everybody. I was pretty tired, so please forgive me if we sort of couldn't pray for anyone the second time, because as you can understand, standing up for so long praying, I had to actually sit down. So did Adrian. He had a long day as well. But is that just one more testimony? Anyone wants to come up and share any specific testimonies, anything over the weekend? Yeah.
Yeah, you were praying for me about my sickness and 10 years now, I never had a good sleep, but after that night you prayed for me, I slept right through.
Woo-hoo! Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. God really called out some stuff the other night as well about your heart. About the doctor's report, all those sort of details. We just believe that there's God's going to finish what he started with these words, okay? So we just pray right now, Father, that you're finishing what you started right now. We thank you, Lord. We call things that are not, as though they are. We pull out of the invisible into the physical, healing remnant right now over this man of God right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We'll do a couple of demonstrations and then I'm going to pray for... I just probably pray for one person just if I get something in the spirit. And we'll see what God does. And then Avery's going to open it up for a word.
Hallelujah. So who has a nice short dream?
It was a very brief dream. I just went through some double doors into a room and Adrian was in there and said, right, this is where the real, something like anointing or something, no, it wasn't, impartation. This is where the real impartation takes place. And there's also something about recognising a difference between yesterday morning when I was feeling stressed versus yesterday evening when I was feeling at peace.
So Adrian was in it and you heard this is where the real impartation is. Now, I want you to listen to me carefully. This is not to bring glory to Adrian, all right? And these things happen. It's very scriptural, okay? When the apostle Paul, who was Saul and was knocked off his feet on the road to Damascus, okay, he was staying at someone's house after this and he couldn't see. He was struck blind through this encounter he had. And then he had a vision in the night of a man called Ananias coming to him and praying, and there was an impartation. Okay, so this is very scriptural. Even later on in Acts 16, Paul had a man from Macedonia come to him and said, come to Macedonia. So this is very scriptural, okay? So I'm just trying to say this so that you don't feel that we're wacko or anything like this. This is very scriptural. Now, you're going to receive a teaching mantle, all right? Do you teach? Well, sorry?
In a Bible study situation, yeah.
Well, it's going to go from Bible study to turbo revelation. Okay. You're going to have layers. God's going to give you sanctified narratives and layers and revelation. You're going to come in. Your eyes are going to understand. And we're going to read it. And you're going to read it. And you say, I've read this for years, but I'm just seeing so much in this. All right? It's a bit like those 3D pictures. You stare at long enough, it starts to turn into a 3D image. You're going to see so much. You're going to go into the room. And it's going to open up doors for you to step into. And it's like the Apostle John. There's a door standing open in heaven. You're going to have encounters. So, Adrian, you ready? Just put your hands out for a minute.
I just feel to just put my jacket on you for that reason, you know, so that pass what I have to you. Is that okay?
Oh, Jesus. So, Adrian, you ready?
You know, he said your name's Adrian Leonard.
Put your hands
my husband's
out for a
name's actually Leonard Adrian.
Yeah. I just feel to just put my jacket on you.
Bookends.
And so, you know, when Elijah placed his garment on Elisha, no words were actually spoken initially. Well, Elijah said, what have I done to you? He didn't say, here, receive my mantle. But the mantle itself spoke, it carried the word without a word being spoken. And so, in this, I'm going to speak, but understand that then Elisha took that mantle, rolled it up in 2 Kings chapter 2, and then struck Jordan with it, and it divided, and he walked into that eternal realm. He walked through Jordan, which means death. And so he walked through the word that was not spoken, that was given to him, that he would grow into this. And so as I place this on you, it'll be this that causes you to divide the word, all right, and move into that eternal realm to understand what God's showing you beneath the surface of what you read. Amen?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. So, Father, I thank you for what you placed in my life, and right now I share this with my sister. What's your name?
Denise.
Lord, I thank you for Denise right now. And it's no coincidence that her husband's name is Leonard Adrian. Lord, I thank you. It's just one of those things that you set up right now. And so here is what you're giving to Denise right now. In Jesus' name.
And, yeah, Denise, something's coming upon you right now, and it's the weight of glory. But also, I just saw a vision of the Dome of the Rock in Israel. And have you been to Israel? Because God's sending you there. and I see that there's God's opening up the Jewish language. God's opening up Hebrew. He's a Hebrew poetry to you.
I'm learning Hebrew this year.
You're learning Hebrew this year.
Yep.
This is a confirmation, all right? This is the word of the Lord. God's actually opening up Hebrew poetry. You're learning Hebrew, but you're going to go to Israel, right? And you're going to, there's going to be such an impartation. You're going to see the fulfillment of this. God's starting something with this cloak coming upon you, but there's going to be fulfillment when you go to Israel. There's going to be a sign and a wonder that's going to be manifested to you, and you're never going to be the same again. This is the time for you. And Hebrew poetry is going to be opened up so great. And this is what he teaches as well. And this is what it's all about. Okay, so does that make sense? Put your hands out a bit more because the fire of God's coming upon you right now. Here it comes. Here it comes. It's like a rushing wind. The firestorm is upon you right now. It's a holy firestorm. And here it comes. It's going right through you, right through your heart. And God is opening up your heart into deep revelation right now. In Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for impartation. We thank you, Lord, for the mantle of a teacher, mantle of a revelator right now. And we thank you, Father, for dreams, visions, encounters. Shakama boroko sike. Shakama boposuka. We'll do one quick dream, and then I want to pray for one person, okay? And then we'll hand it over to you, mate. Stay there as long as you like, so don't rush off.
Somebody else with a dream, a nice short dream.
Is any? Okay.
Go on, what do you got?
I was going to say if there's any men, but it's okay.
I dreamt that I went to America and stayed with a family who liked to go cloud walking. My suitcase was open on the bed. All of my clothes were pastel colours and lightweight sheer fabrics. The lady who owned the house said my clothes would be perfect for cloud walking. The large staircase in their house had a bright orange rug, the full length of it. I sat on the rug at the top of the stairs and slid down the stairs, and the rug slid down with me on it. I told the lady that I was practicing for when I would go cloud walking.
If you had a native name, it would probably be Cloud Walker.
That's right. So I want to relay that again.
So you went into a house, is that right?
Yeah, I went to America for a holiday and I went to a house and they like to do cloud walking.
So you went to America for a holiday. They like to go cloud walking and you're staying in this home.
Yeah.
It had an orange runner down the staircase.
Yep.
And
I sat on the top of the rug and it slid down the staircase with me on it.
Yes, and that wasn't like discomforting.
No, it was fun. Yes. It was fun. I was looking forward to going cloud walking.
Okay.
That's good.
And she had a suitcase on the bed which had pastel colours in it, and the owners of the house said that they're beautiful, or they're the right clothes to go cloud walking.
Wow. Are you thinking what I'm thinking, B1?
I am B2.
It's impartation time.
It's impartation time.
That's good. I like that. That's actually awesome because cloud walking, is there such a thing as cloud walking in the natural? I mean, I thought it might have been, I know you can't physically do that, but I thought it might have been a saying or something. Okay, so forget that.
They're going to call you the cloud walker now. You know that, don't
you?
Yeah.
Luke Cloud Walker. No. No, that's good because God is bringing you into a place. America can be... Do you go to America often?
No, I've been to Bethel for 5 weeks.
Okay.
America has a lot of things going for it. I mean, obviously they've got some things that don't go for it, but it does some really good things. I mean, on all of their currency has "In God We Trust." Their symbol is the eagle, you know, and so there is a lot of spiritual connotation in that.
And there, it is still a strong Christian nation.
Very. It would be the most God-conscious nation that we've been to.
Yeah, and it's a lot of places are open heaven. There's some places where they're fundamentalists and they think that we're crazy, but there's some places that are there. It's a strong Christian open heaven place of the world. It is because, I mean, we've got to pray for America because the whole issue between Israel and America, and there's some demonic forces coming in trying to change the history. But America is a metaphor of a place in God, okay? And also cloud walking means that it says that when I get Ephesians 6, it talks about it's like we don't wrestle with flesh and blood, but the principalities of the air, that you're actually in the heavenlies. It says in Ephesians 2, we've been raised up, seated in heavenly places with Christ. And when we're in that place and that revelation you're coming into, you're going to have authority to bring heaven down into the natural. All right. So this is what God's called us to do. If we really understand our identity and who we are in Christ, that we're with Christ, seated in heavenly places. It says in Colossians 3, set your mind on things that are above where Christ is seated. And that's when you have the revelation to actually govern the kingdom onto the earth with signs and wonders and miracles. The stairway is that place I was talking about the other day of Jacob's ladder, but that's actually now in all of us, where we can have that authority to pull the invisible into the natural physical. And you have that authority. The orange is a color of the fire of God. In Ezekiel chapter 1 talks about the amber fire of God. It's the actual fire of God. And that's actually like a gold color as well, amber, but also it's an orange color. And that's you're coming to a place of governing the kingdom on earth with the baptism of fire. You have the ability to release baptism, but also God's bringing wisdom and knowledge to you. Because there's times where you've made some mistakes. We all made mistakes, but there's times where you've actually put your foot in some things and you misinterpreted what the Spirit is saying. But God's giving you a deeper revelation of who He is, where you have authority, more authority and posture and confidence when you go to release a word. I don't know where all that come from.
Now, you see the suitcase as a vessel is concave. You know, like it's a picture of a heart. And she's clothed with the garments, so the garments from Ephesians 6 that go in tandem with the person who's seated in heavenly places. And I see the amber or that orange coloration. It's interesting that he should say wisdom, God's going to give you wisdom. You're going to bring things from heaven to earth as a cloud walker. And so you're going to bring things from heaven to earth. And I see orange as a spirit of wisdom in the seven spirits of God. But it also speaks of the glory, as Adam's spoken as well. It's bringing the glory and the wisdom with it. To earth.
So you're in two places. You know, quantum physics talks about superpositioning, where we're in two places at the same time. In Thessalonians talks about getting caught up in the clouds with the Lord. So you're actually caught up with the Lord. And when you're actually in that place where He's in you, it's your two places at the same time. That's when you start to see the miracles. Okay? But God's also going to quicken your body with energy. Okay, all fatigue's coming off, and God's giving you strength where there's so much energy over your life, because the enemies try to hit you with fatigue, weariness, and we just thank you for the power of God over her brain as well, because God's equipping your mind, and I'm going to pray for your memory. God's healing your memory. Because some things got blocked out from when you were a child, and there's been some trauma there, and you don't understand why there's some stuff that's happened when you were a child, but you've been told some things, but there's some stuff that you can't remember. We're going to break off all bad soul ties, but God's going to open up all the good memories that was as a child. And the blessing of the Lord comes and adds no sorrow to it. And we thank you for signs and wonders and miracles. And we thank you, Lord, that also the body, the cells in your body is coming into divine order as well. Sakama boroko siki. Sikira papa borokup. Now, I see this in a vision. Now, it might be a metaphor, but have you had any miscarriages? Okay. Because it's... Sorry?
I nearly miscarried my daughter.
Okay. Well, I just see that in the spirit that the enemies try to abort your destiny when it comes to you moving into the fullness of what he's called you into. And even though that happened in the natural, you nearly lost your daughter. Well, that's manifested in the natural, which is great. But a daughter also is a metaphor. There's a parallel here. It can be the spirit of God, spirit of wisdom. And also it can be wisdom and revelation. And the enemies try to shut down your destiny for you to step into. And wisdom is what opens the door. Wisdom is what... The gifts and the wisdom and knowledge is what makes a way for a person and opens the doors. And Father, we release this right now in Jesus' name. Is your parents still alive? Okay. Is your mother well? Okay. Because is it the relationship okay with you and your mother?
Yeah, it is now. It didn't used to be.
Okay. Because I'm gonna reverse all that past loss of communication. And because I do see that there has been a wall between you and your mother. And I see that also, a death can also mean a metaphor, right, for separation, right? Death in the relationship. And I saw a wall there and I see your mother laying down. And we're gonna reverse that in the spirit so that even though it's fine now, it's also going to be an impartation. Going to be on to your daughter, so there's no conflict between you and your daughter, okay? Because your daughter's going to be, she's going to be saved, healed, and delivered. Even though she might be okay now, but the enemy's trying to shut down some plan. I'm not putting this on her, but we're doing this to reverse anything so that she can go fully into the destiny, and you and her can be united. That generational thing won't be broken off. It will be broken off. All right. So, Father, we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Here it comes. The power of God is coming upon you. There's an impartation. Everything that we have right now, Adrian and I, we impart. And, Lord, we loose the power of heaven onto this woman of God right now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. How are you feeling? Feeling okay? Does your daughter here today?
Is that Tanya?
Tanya. Can I pray for Tanya? Is she here? And then we're going to hand it over. Do you have any short dreams? Anything you do dream? You don't remember them? That means you don't have a good memory? No, I'm only kidding. No, come be closer. I had a word for you last night, and the power of God's going to come upon you, and there's divine protection around you, all right? But I can't exactly remember what the word was. And usually it's a good sign if I can't remember, because God uses me as a hand puppet, right? And he releases the word, so I can't really remember. But I just feel to pray for you for protection and for grace and mercy. I see that God's calling you into realms of worship as a worship leader and as a singer, and there's time for you to be up front to lead worship. But also I want to pray for a hedge of protection around you. And when I say a hedge of protection, the blood of Jesus is protecting you, because the enemy's trying to, he wants to, it's going to be like a false promotion, okay? And you might think it's the Lord, and just be aware of this. The enemy in the wilderness, the enemy will try to give a good offer or like a false promotion, and you need to be stern, and you need to come to a place you go, okay, this can't be the Lord because it just doesn't feel right, okay? Where I see that you're actually going to go to the nations, I do that, and I do see that you're actually going to, also there's something to do with children, where you have a ministry of equipping children and a love for children. And I see like there's like a type of a Heidi Baker mantle that God wants to put on you of that love, the revelation of the love of God. But you're in a crossroads right now, because there's actually the enemy's trying to plan a false promotion. a false door for you to walk through, and it looks good, but you'll know that it just doesn't feel right. And when you actually, when you turn that down and you're actually strong and you resist that, God's going to, it's going to be a bigger door, okay? It's going to be a bigger door. And at the moment, you might feel you're in the wilderness, but this is a good place to be in. Do you ever fast? You've never fasted? Okay. I just feel that it's time for you to really seek God. This is a real crucial hour for you, okay, because I see that the enemy is going to try to trip you up with temptation. We're going to break that off right now. And we thank you, Lord. I want you to pray for our sister. And, when, Lord, we just thank you for impartation right now. I just see also that you actually have an authority, like a governmental authority. I see you standing before rulers and kings, and you actually, you have authority to speak the truth. And I see that you also have like a, it's like a governmental authority in the natural. I see you as a leader in the natural, a great leader. And Father, we just release the power of the blood of Jesus over this woman of God right now. And we thank you, Lord God, that you're helping her with her studies. Father, we thank you for opening her mind up, and her studies are coming into the place where she can have full understanding. I come against the stress right now, and the stress where she's, there's times where it's very emotional right now, and I break off that curse of fear. And there's a time where you have a blockage. It just comes upon you, just completely blockage. It's like trying to walk through a wall sometimes. You feel like when you're doing your studies, you just can't really get it, and it's really frustrating. It's like it's just zero flat line of any knowledge. And I'm going to break off that lying spirit that brings a cloudness, and you nearly give up. We're going to break that off. There's a time when you feel like chucking it in, throwing it in. So Father, right now we just thank you for the glory of God over this woman of God, and we thank you for giving us strength. Thank you for opening eyes of understanding. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, you've given her, I see finance. I see that you're going to be establishing places like, I see the finance is going to help you with your studies. The finance is also going to open up doors for overseas. And I see that you're just going to, there's great things, there's multiple things coming out of your life, which is setting up orphanages. I see God sending you to a place to lead worship, but also I see you talking to government officials. I do see that, and you have an anointing on you. And I see, I just want to release dream interpretation anointing for you to understand dreams, and your mind's going to open up for you to have dreams and encounters. Is that okay? Yeah. So, Father, we thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
We thank you for dreams, visions, revelation right now. Dreams, visions, and revelation. We thank you for the prophetic mantle over this woman of God. I thank you, she's a sign and a wonder. Lord, there it is. It's coming upon you in a great weight of glory. It's the kavod glory. Oh, the power of God's all over you. Right now, release heaven onto this woman of God. And we thank you, Lord, you're giving her understanding. The mind is opening up for her to receive, Lord, understanding, wisdom. And Lord, we thank you that the studies, I prophesy high distinctions right now. I prophesy high distinctions. Thank you, Lord. I just see a results of 97. 97. I don't know if that makes sense, but God's giving a result. I'm going to prophesy 97. Now, I don't know if that means anything to you, but 97. 9 is also a number of fruitfulness, and you're about to come into breakthrough because a woman is 9 months pregnant, and that means you're coming to breakthrough and promises. And 7 is a number of the perfection and Spirit of God, 7 spirits of God, which is wisdom and revelatory knowledge. And we release that right now, that Isaiah 11 is manifesting inside of her, the menorah of heaven. Lord, as the fire of God is inside of her right now, in Jesus' name. 97.
That's pretty good, eh? See, I'm learning. I want to share a word. We've had a great weekend. We've been talking about dreams and visions. I want to sort of bring that all together with a thought of a passage of Scripture and I want us to see beneath the passage of Scripture. It's probably the most regularly read passage of Scripture by unbelievers and probably the least understood passage of Scripture when you start to see beneath the surface of the Scriptures. That is in Genesis chapter 1. And I will just need to read a couple of the verses because they just emphasize a couple of things. Genesis chapter 1, it's a busy passage or a busy chapter because all these things are going on. And I'll just quickly outline without reading through the whole chapter here because of time. But on day 1, God creates light and then says it was good. It says, it begins off by saying, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then God says, let there be light. You know, it says that darkness was over the face of the earth. And God then said, let there be light. And so day one begins with the creation, as it were, or the appearance of light. And God says it was good. Light is good. On day two, what happens in the creation story is that God separates the waters. And so there is a separation takes place. The waters above from the waters below, and they're separated by what's called an expanse or heaven, a firmament, it says in the old King James. On day three, God gathers the waters together. God gathers the waters together that are under, the waters beneath the firmament, and out of that waters, he brings forth the land. But he not only brings forth the land, but he also then brings forth plant life out of the land. So he brings forth, it says, grass, herb, bearing seed, and trees that have fruit, which seed is in itself. That's an important facet of what I'm going to teach this morning. On day four, God then speaks into existence the sun and the moon to have dominion or rule over the day and over the night, and puts likewise the stars as part and parcel of that dominion over the night. And the stars also are there to, and the moon and the sun are also there to present seasons, signs, and days and years, it says in the Scripture. That's day four. And so when you're interpreting dreams, four is the number of dominion or rule, or it can be. Because of that, on day four, that's what was done. The sun was set in place and the moon was set in place to have dominion and rule over the day and over the night. Four can also be the four corners of the earth, as in the book of Revelation, the four winds of the earth. All right, now five, on day five, God then speaks life out of the water and brings forth fish and bird life out of the water. Now, I want you to understand that when you look at fish, they have wings. Fush. When you look at fish, fish have wings. We would call them flippers and fins and all that sort of things, but basically, I mean, flying fish literally do, you know, skim and jump out of the water. But, you know, dolphins, whales, they have in a form, you know, maybe dwarfed in some way, they have things that fly. That, you know, they're in a different medium and they are just like birds, but they're in a different medium and they fly through the water, as it were. All right, so that's day five. On day six, God creates animal life on earth, and the culmination of his physical creation is the creation of man. So we go through those 6 days of creation, and the culmination of his physical creation is mankind. And because man is to have dominion over the physical creation. On day seven, God rested. Now, all the way through each one of those creative, you know, acts every day, God says, and it was good. Day two, God does not say it was good. On day three, God says it's good twice. On day four, God says it's good. Day five, God says it's good. Day six, God says it's good. And on day seven, so each one of those 6 days, God says the evening and the morning was the first day. The evening and the morning was the second day. The evening and the morning were the third day. And you get the picture? And so from that, you understand that the Jews, the Hebrews, Their day, they see their day starting at 6 o'clock at night. All right? Because the evening precedes the morning. All right? So their day starts at 6 o'clock at night and then goes through into the next 6 o'clock at night. So evening first and then morning. I want to suggest to you that that's significant because first there's a darkness and then there's a light. But in this creation story, God says he creates the heavens and the earth. Now, when we read that, we get caught up with the science of that creation story and we get caught up with the physicality. We get caught up and we're caught up with how all that took place. And if we were creation scientists and we were ex nihilo from nothing and we understood all those sort of things, and I once loved that material and I still do because it's a good foundation for those with a scientific mind to see that the reality is that's what took place at the beginning. But what I want us to get today is something, another layer in that passage, because beneath that is encoded a truth that we today need to grab a hold of. Excited? Now, let me just preface this by saying this. When you start to dig within the scriptures and God starts to reveal the layers, you need to be cautious because you can be guilty of trying to make the passage of scripture say what you want it to say. Number two, you need to go slow when you unravel and go beneath the surface of the scriptures. Number three, you need a breadth of understanding of the gospel and of the whole of the scriptures to be able to do this accurately because you're drawing from both Old and New Testament truth to provide the picture that God has. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13, God says that the Spirit of God teaches comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. And so when you're looking at a passage you don't understand, what scriptures go off inside of you? That's what you should be asking yourself. What other scriptures relate to this passage of scripture? Because then, if you bring the two scriptures together, you'll get a depth of field, like two lenses or two lens, and you'll get a depth of field that wasn't there before when you bring the two passages of scripture together. Are you okay? Every scripture has a mate. Every scripture has a mate. What's the mate that you're looking for in that? I think that's Isaiah 34, verse 16. That's my paraphrase of Isaiah 34, verse 16. It might be 35, 16, but it's somewhere like that. So we're looking now at that passage of creation, and we're going to draw from that passage of creation something that every one of us as New Testament believers need to grab a hold of because it's essential for us. Now, the Bible says some interesting things. It says that the whole of creation is waiting for the revealing of the sons of God. Well, could it be possible then that in this creation account is something that unlocks the revealing of the sons of God? Wow. Now, the scripture also says that Jesus, Revelation 13, I think it's verse 8, it says that Jesus is the lamb slain from the creation or the foundation of the earth. That suggests to me that in this passage is Jesus dying. Where is that in this passage? Can I suggest to you it's here? Day one, God says it was good. Day two, God does not say it was good, but on day three, God says it was good twice. So in the first 3 days, you have good, then you have separation, and Adam explained in his teaching today as we were interpreting that death is often a separation. There was a woman with a mother was laying down, there was a wall between them because it signifies death or separation. Are you getting me? Waters separated, all right, on day two, no blessing on day two, because it signifies death. On day three, there's a double blessing. And that's why John chapter 2 begins, on the third day there was a wedding in Cana. Because if you were an Orthodox Jew, you would know there's a double blessing on a Tuesday. Double blessing on a Tuesday. And that's why they choose to have marriages on that day. Are you with me? Because of the creation account, there's a double blessing on a Tuesday. Which is, this is good news for you because Mondayitis is scriptural. No blessing on a Monday. And tomorrow we have a holiday anyway, don't we? So we're going to avoid that Monday, you know, curse, as it were. So in the very creation account is as it were, birthing, death, and then a resurrection. Then we have then the dominion and rule of the sun and the moon, the creation of the bird life and the fish life, and we have plants coming out of the resurrection life, and then we have the creation of life on earth, animal life, and the creation of man, who's the pinnacle of God's creation. Who is in this passage, it says, who's created in the image of God. And you, if you read through commentaries and you try to get an understanding of what that means, there's all this theory, you know, it's like, well, we're made, could it be the fact that we're tripartite, we're body, soul, and spirit? Or could it be that we have part of his character? And some suggest that we are physically like God. It's all theory. It's all a theory. No one knows as they start to look at it like that. And yet, as a new creation, we can know exactly who we're made like. Father, I pray that you would reveal and remove the veil from our eyes this morning so that we would see ourselves as we truly are and see this passage with the emphasis that you placed in it. If I'm correct in this passage of Scripture, look at this. God says there was light. It says that the earth was there without form and void. Darkness was over the face of the deep. Now, the deep speaks of a person's heart. Mankind was in darkness. It says that there was no form and void. It means it's a picture in the Hebrew of a castle whose walls are broken down. There's uncertainty and it's a mess. Can I suggest to you that if we came and we brought Christ's, the Gospels, into this passage of Scripture, and we said that mankind without God was lost and in the dark, and each one of us were like spirits or like castles whose spirits, it says in Proverbs, a man who has a broken spirit is like a castle without walls. And so mankind was broken in spirit. It had no spiritual fortitude, no walls, but then God said, let there be light. And that let there be light on day one is Jesus coming to earth. Bam! Boom, I'm here. I'm the light of the world. Day two, separation. Day two, he dies for us. On day two of creation, not day six or day seven or day five, but day two of creation in the new creation story, he dies for us. And water is separated. Now, Elijah and Elisha, we talked about that earlier with Denise, but listen, Elijah and Elisha, 2 Kings chapter 2, they walked through that division of waters, death. They walked through Jordan, which means death or descender. They walked in a path through the eternal barrier into another realm. That's the separation that Jesus, and in his death, he's opened a pathway for us to move into the eternal realm. Day two. Day three, there's a double blessing. A double blessing on day three, which speaks of the resurrection. And this is what I want you to see. Let me just read. I love motels because, or at least motels that have a Gideon's Bible. I hope my... No, they're not. Yes. They're probably in my jacket. I wonder if you could put up verses 11 and 12 of Genesis chapter 1 for me. I'll be able to read it here. Now, actually, they're my sunglasses. That's okay. There are some others in there. I'll really be in the dark. So if you can find Genesis 1, 11 and 12 for me, that would be fantastic. So while we're doing that, so let me just get the emphasis again. Day one, man's in darkness. You know, we've broken down and suddenly Jesus comes to the scene. Bam, light. Her star heralded his coming. The glory was heralding. Here it comes in heaven. Heaven precedes earth and suddenly he's on earth. The light is exposed. I'm the light of the world. People who don't do evil come to the light. Those that don't, you know, they're fearful, they move away from the light. I'm here to bring a difference. You're either for the light or you're for the dark. Here I am, I'm Jesus. I've come to bring a sword. I will separate. All right. On day three, the point I want you to get, how are we going? On day three, this is what I want you to see. On day three, God brings the earth out of the waters. You remember last night or yesterday as I was speaking about death, burial, and resurrection and how the dove and all that sort of thing. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. Adam was drawn from the dust of the earth. Gideon had an earthen vessel and broke a torch, which speaks of the glory of God within us, this earthly frame. And as soon as the earthly restraints are broken off from us, the glory of God can shine out of us. So this is what I want you to see, though. On day three, God causes the earth to come out of the water, which speaks of mankind, or Jesus, coming out of the water, speaks of coming out of death. Because if we go underwater for too long, we die. Death, burial, and resurrection. So what you're seeing on day three is the resurrection. But together with the resurrection, God does something very special. With the resurrection, he puts something in place for us, and he creates plant life. But everywhere else in Genesis, in the Genesis account, he says, and God said, and then God made. Or God said, and then God created. Not on day three. What he says is this, and God said, then let the plant life come forth. And the plant life comes forth of itself out of the earth. God doesn't create the plant life. He's already put it into the earth. You are the earth. You and I, formed of the dust of the earth, are symbolized here as that earthly vessel. And what comes out of our life without even God's hand on it, because it's part and parcel, it's inherent in us, is a plant. That will be herbs, grass, or trees which produce fruit. And fruit has seed in itself. I need my glasses to be able to read it, that's all. So it's okay. I think I've conveyed what I want to say there, as long as you grabbed a hold of what I'm saying. On day three, double blessing on day three, God sings resurrection, but in that resurrection, plant life comes out of the earth, out of us. And if we are recognizing that Jesus came to earth as the light of the world, died for us on day two, day three speaks of his resurrection, he's done something. He's established something on day three of his very creation record in the supernatural, in the spirit realm. Thank you. Yay. Where he says, then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit, according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth. And it was so. Verse 12 says, and the earth brought forth the grass. God didn't say, hey, create the grass, but the earth brought forth the grass. The earth brought forth the grass, the herb yielding seed, and according to its kind, and the fruit trees, whose seed is in itself, according to its kind. Now, what is seed in Scripture? Matthew chapter 13, Jesus said, seed are our words. Your words inside of you are encased in the fruit inside of you. And when you bring forth your words, you create the tree that you are. You create the life force to it out of resurrection. So you are part of the resurrection in receiving Christ, and now he's given within you, inherent within you, is a creative ability. God's got his hand back. Like you said, you're on your own now. I've created this. I've resurrected you. But now it's up to you. What do you say? What do you say? Because what you say is what you get. You are either grass and you'll be mowed down without any fruit. You will be herbs, perhaps giving off fragrance with seed, or you will be a tree that has fruit. Wow, our words are so important, and it's inherent in us that we will follow our words. On day four, he then gives us in our creation, he puts the sun to rule the day. The Bible says in Malachi chapter 4, verse 2, for those of you who fear his name, the Son of Righteousness will arise, the S-U-N of righteousness will arise with healing in his wings. The sun brings life to earth, as we know. Without the sun, we're in an ice age, all right? But the sun brings life. But his promise to us is for those who know him, who walk in the light, he brings healing to us. And in his presence is healing. In his presence is healing. Now, I was explained the other day that in Genesis 37, the Bible says, this is Joseph's dream, that the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars were bowed down to Joseph. And the father, Jacob, interprets that and he says, shall I, my wife, and your brothers, your peers, all bow down to you? The sun is the father, the moon is the mother, and the stars are his brothers. The sun is Jesus, and he reflects to the earth, onto mankind. Those who are in the light, as it were, are tracing the sun, and we live in the light. Those who are in the dark are on the dark side of the earth, and they're away from the light. It's not exposed to them. We're in the rays of healing, but we corporately are his bride. We are his wife. And so corporately, our role is then to be irradiated by the sun and to reflect that glory into a darkened world. So we reflect that glory into a darkened world corporately as his bride. Wow. We are the bearers of that glory. And that's why the emphasis changes in Matthew's gospel when he says, I'm the light of the world. In John's gospel, in Matthew's gospel, he says, you're the light of the world. Because he changes it and says, I'm releasing that to you so that you can irradiate me. You can carry my glory to another, a darkened world. He puts the stars into place, and it says of those stars that they're there for seasons. The Hebrew word suggests for an appointed time. What does that do? What's a verse that goes off inside of you when you hear an appointed time? How about Esther chapter 4? You are born for such a time as this. And here's the truth, ladies and gentlemen. As sons of the light, we are appointed for such a time as this. And we are the stars that Abraham was promised in Genesis chapter 15. And we, each one of us, is in a darkened world, and we are appointed for a certain time to bring light, for a certain season. Each one of us will have a different influence on our world, but he wants us to realize that we are called for an appointed time to do something in this world. The whole of creation is waiting for us to get it, and he's done it. And he's given us a power in our words. And then in the process, he says, the sun has dominion and the moon has dominion. Your words have power. Your words have dominion and rule. And you are those kings whose words need to be followed from the weekend. And so then finally, on day 5, he creates fish life or spirit life beneath the earth. It says of Jonah that he went down to the foundations of the earth, under the sea, in that great fish. The birds fly into the air. Anything with wings is a spirit being, symbolically. He's given us dominion over the earth, and he's given us dominion over the fish and the birds of the air, according to the creation account, which means that we have dominion over spirit life. We have dominion over spirit life, and I think that spirit life in the air is future, and I think the spirit life under the water or under the earth is past. And we have a dimensionality that we don't fully understand. Now, every one of these creation days, it says, and God said, and God said, and God says, and it says, and God said 10 times. 10 times. Now get this. From this revelation, from Genesis chapter 1, a Hebrew sage in the 12th century, he deduced from this revelation that God's creation is in 10 dimensions. And that God himself must be at least an 11-dimensional being to be able to create and speak into a 10-dimensional creation, at least. Which means this, You know, we talked, Adam briefly spoke about quantum physics, but quantum physics, supercomputers, string theory, scientists are now working out that the best model that represents our level of reality, guess what, is a 10-dimensional model. Science is catching up to the Bible. A 10-dimensional creation means this. I have height, so I have one dimension. I have width, so I have another dimension. I have perhaps a growing, burgeoning depth. You see what I'm saying here? Three dimensions, all right? And I'm also in a dimension of time, so I live in a fourth-dimensional reality level of reality. But God says in the creation, the new creation account, there are 10 dimensions, which are beyond my understanding. But according to by faith in the scriptures, I live in a 10-dimensional universe or 10-dimensional reality, because it may be bigger than the universe. When we look at time, we see it as chronological. So once you've gone past that time, you can't have that time again. But that's not true in the new creation. Because in Christ, the word for signs, you know, in the Old Testament, has Aleph and a Tov, which is the beginning letter, and the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and it has a nail between them, a Vav. What that means is, a sign is something that joins eternity, or reveals eternity, brings the last to the first. When God manifests the sign in John's Gospel, he shows his eternity. He opens the door to eternity and shuts it in that miracle. He showed us his glory. Oh, eternity, boom. Now, as we are privileged as sons, we have been given authority to step through that eternal barrier if we knew who we were. Which means this, that we could move forward in time and we could move back in time. What is forgiveness? Forgiveness is dealing with the past. We do that all the time and we don't think about it in terms of time. So we're time travelers. It's out there. I know it's out there. But God has called us to be... We are not like anything else on this earth. Now, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, therefore, if any man's in Christ, he is a new creation. A new creation. That word for new in Greek is a kainos. There is a word neos, which means new of the same kind. So here is a microphone, and here is another microphone. This is the old microphone. This is the new microphone. That's a neos microphone. But when God says this thing is new, it's a kainos, a K-A-I-N-O-S, new, and it means something that's never been seen before. Just introduced right now. Which means this. The creation story did not end in the first 7 days. It ended when Jesus died for you. And what he did was he amalgamated himself into a man, into mankind, into you and I. God now is part of us, infused inside of us if we are believers. Jesus, in John chapter 9, he goes to heal the blind man. And he spits on a bit of clay. Clay is mankind. Spit is the word of God. God and man combined to give him sight. The two eyes are his spirit and his physicality. Are you still with me? You and I are a new creation, the amalgamation of God and man. You and I are not like every other New Zealander if you're born again, unless they're born again. You carry a different DNA to everybody else on this planet. You may look the same. You may have that appearance, and the devil wants to tell you they're exactly the same. And the what happened to your father when you go to the doctors and they say, how did your father die? How did your mother die? And they want to put a curse on you, a generational curse on you. Guess what? It cancelled at the cross. Galatians 3:13 says that he bore our curse to break the curse. We should not have to stand in what was previously unbelieving generational curses coming down to us because we're not the same DNA. You and I are superhumans. You and I are God-men. God-men and women have a power with their words. Why does God say he created man in his image? Because the only image that was presented really is Jesus. He's the only one we can look at to see what God looks like. And he says, we are created in his image. If you want to look what see what God looks like, look at Jesus. If you want to see what you look like, look at Jesus. Because you and I are looking to the world to find out who we are, when in actual fact, God says, you are Jesus, like Jesus. Wow. That's exactly right, Jan. We have just had communion, and Jan's led us around communion, and that's an entry into, that's a declaration that we are in covenant with him, but we are the new creation. And he says, do it as often as you gather together to remind yourself who you are. Because what happens is, you're listening to me this morning, and suddenly you're going to go out there and go back into the world, and you're going to observe what the world says about you, and you need to renew your mind and renew yourself to see who you really are over and over again, because it's only in this that you'll find out who you are. And so what we do is we revert to the old, we default back to being merely human, when God's called us to renew our minds and tell us who we really are. And in the creation story, it's there, but it's hidden. Are you there? Wow. There was no mourning until Jesus was resurrected. In Mark 16, it says, and Mary was on the way and the sun was rising. Every sunrise and sunset was reminding us prophetically before the cross of Jesus' resurrection and Jesus' death. Jesus' death, Jesus' resurrection. Jesus' death, resurrection. And every morning and night from the cross is a reminder to us who we are. We are not the same. We are part of a new creation. You are a totally different being. You are a kainos new. You are not the same DNA as everybody else that you look at. Why do we accept what the world wants to put on us when we're not the same? Because our brains are still thinking, like, you know, so our pastor Todd went to South America. And in South America, he went to a lion park. And in the lion park, you had the privilege to have your photograph taken with lions, full-grown lions. And so people are standing there. Todd's standing there, the pastor of the Field of Dreams, is standing there and he's having his photograph taken with a lion. Pretty gutsy, you think. You know, the person that he was with hugged it, and the park rangers said to him, look, don't hug it, it's still a wild beast, all right? So, you know, just touch it and have your photograph taken. Todd said he wanted to get out of there as quick as he could, all right? Understandable. But then he said this, as they're driving around the compound out of that lion park, he saw dogs with a litter of pups, and in the midst of them were lion cubs. And this is the secret. The reason that the people could go into that enclosure with the lion was because he'd been raised with dogs. And being raised with dogs, that lion thought it was a dog. You and I think that we're dogs. We've been raised with dogs. We look at everybody else and we think we're just like them. And in actual fact, we are lions in the spirit. We've got it wrong. We're not like them. The devil's duped us. Dogs are unbelievers. You know, we've been brought up with dogs and we're looking at them thinking we're dogs. Come and pat my belly. When we're lions with manes, we're fully mature lions and we should be roaring and declaring who we are with authority. Our words cut in the spirit realm and angels are waiting to move on our words. Psalm 103 verse 20. Day one, Jesus comes to earth. Day two, he dies. Day three, he's resurrected and puts within us an ability to speak and create the very plant life within us. Day four, he gives us dominion over the day and over the night and healing. On day five, he gives us dominion over the spirit beings in the future and in the past. And in day six, he's declared that we are made in Jesus' image. And Jesus is our model, not what we look at everybody else around us. So I want to finish this here this morning. I want to close this really abruptly here. But I want you to realize the power that you carry. I want you to realize that when you get a revelation from God and then you speak it, whether it be a dream or a vision, whether it be revelation as you're reading the word, you have power as you start to create and speak. And you are lions. We are lions. We are not dogs. Amen? What is it that you need to speak to in your future or in your past? Because God's given you dominion over the spirit realm. You know, like heaven, like earth. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Heaven precedes earth. We bring heaven to earth. And we want to bury our past. We need to realize that we can undo the mistakes we've done back there by speaking into it and saying, God, what do you want from that point where I made a mistake for that person with my child, when I said the wrong thing, when I did that wrong? You can remedy that. Father, I pray, I give you permission to go back there and put your will into that situation. Undo those words that I said to that person, reverse them, and let them know what you think about them and that not what I think about them, because I was insecure when I said those things. Father, my future lies ahead and you want to reveal it to me. Release it to me. Give me revelation so I can grab a hold of the revelation and I can speak it onto this earth right now. Woo! Would you stand with me? Every one of you has a tongue. You know, in Psalm 1 where it says, his leaf does not wither, he's like a tree. The leaf for me is our tongue. And when a leaf withers, it falls to the ground. The Bible says of Samuel that none of his words fell to the ground because he was tapped into that water supply, which is God. You need to realize that what you speak from your heart does not fall to the ground. What is it that you want to deal with? What is it that God's given you a revelation about for your future? You've had a dream or a vision, you've had a promise, you've had a prophetic word. You have the right now to speak it into being. But hold to it. The enemy will test it. You've got to be persistent with what God says. You've got to believe it in your heart and in your mouth. And you've got to hold to it, because it won't be you that yields. It'll be the devil if you will hold it. Amen? What is it that you need to speak to? Have you said the wrong thing to a loved one? Have you done the wrong thing back there in the past? Or are you still looking to the future and God's given you a promise and you haven't seen it manifest yet? I want you to challenge you to speak into that situation, whatever that happens to be. You know on your heart, the burden in your heart. I want to give you opportunity to search for that for a couple of minutes here, a couple of moments here. And then I want us to shout out, you know, God is certainly worthy. We've spoken about his worthiness. Look what he's done for us. He's placed us as new creations to have dominion in this realm. We're not limited like everybody else. We can move in and out of this realm by faith. Are you there? This is powerful, 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 powerful. What is it that you want to speak into right now? Can we together right now, can we declare what that happens to be right now? What is it you want to declare into? You know, I've got children who are not saved, who walked away from God. I'm going to speak into their lives right now. What is it that you want to speak into? So together, let's voice into the eternal realm what it is that you want to speak into. So I'm going to start shouting about my children. I want you to start to declare like a lion, with a certainty within your heart that God's given you in what I've shared this morning, that you have authority to have dominion over the dark as a moon or as a star for such a time as this. And if you will hold to it, it will manifest. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, right now, I'm searching my heart and I speak right now to my children who are not walking with you. And you've promised they would be worship leaders, that they would be leaders. And so, Father, now I speak to my children, Rebecca, Lois, and Hannah, and I call them back into the fold right now. I pray that their hearts would be open right now in the name of Jesus. There's a promise, Lord, and I break off from the past anything that I've done wrong to dissuade them of God. Maybe I was religious, Lord, but I was doing what I thought was right, but I said the wrong thing. And Father, I speak to what my wife said to my future son-in-law. Lord, I reverse that right now, and I release in Jason right now, I release your will, your destiny in Jason, and that you would bring him into alignment with us and you in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you that you've given me the power to roar over my family, over my pride, over my gathering. And so I declare, devil, get off my family. Get off my situation. This is my property. This is my territory. go in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 If you believe that and that wasn't just hot air, you've done something. You've created something. Your heart's in line with your mouth. If your heart was in line with your mouth, you've created something. Hold to that in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you. You can be seated.